And we want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us. If you are at home watching this on Facebook Live, or if you are watching it at another time, we're so glad that you could join us. We've got an exciting announcement that we're going to share at the end of our worship time this morning. But we're going to go ahead and kick off this next part in our series, God Is. And I thought, you know, this is the last week of school, right? So we know that our students in the New Albany Floyd County school system, they have 3 days of school left, this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And so I thought it would be appropriate if we gave you a pop quiz this morning that kind of goes with our message this morning. So I want to encourage you, if you have a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, I want to encourage you to take this little quiz with us. It's just about a six-question quiz. It's true-false, so it's kind of multiple guess. It's pretty simple. And so I'm going to read a series of statements, and what I'm going to invite you to do is to simply decide whether this statement is true or false. All right, you ready? So the first question is there on your screen, true or false. When you say hateful and ugly words, God loves you less. True or false? Question number two. When you read your Bible and pray, God loves you more. True or false? Question number three, when you lie to your mom or dad so you won't get into trouble, or if you lie to a friend so you won't hurt his or her feelings, God loves you less. True or false? Next question, number four, when you come to church or watch church on Facebook, God loves you more. True or false? Question number five. When you disobey your parent or parents and show disrespect, God loves you less. True or false? And then the last bonus question, number six. What you do or what you say affects how much God loves you. True or false? How do you think you did? Well, let me give you the answer. So we're going to read each question. I'm going to tell you what the answer is. Question number one, the answer is false. When you say hateful and ugly words, God loves you less. That is false. Question number two, when you read your Bible and pray, God loves you more. False. How are you doing so far? Question number three. Let me see what it is. When you lie to your mom or dad so you won't get into trouble, so you lie to a friend so you won't hurt his or her feelings, God loves you less. That is false. Next question. When you come to church, God loves you more. That, too, is false. Next question, number five. When you disobey your parents and show disrespect, God loves you less. That, too, is false. And then the last question, have you picked up on the theme yet? It is false. What you do and what you say affects how much God loves you. Now, you may be looking at those statements and think, that's kind of too hard to understand. Like, how could God love me more or less based on what I do? And the truth is, we have this amazing passage in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 that says this, I am convinced, this is the Apostle Paul writing, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that spectacular? That nothing can separate how much God loves us. And this is what we're going to talk about this morning in part three of our message series, God Is. We're following along with our children and youth curriculum that's by D6 Family. We love this curriculum, and it's talking this month about who God is and what God is like. And so we are looking at who is our God, and more specifically, what is God like? Now, in order to fully answer this question, we actually have to go way back to the beginning in time, to the very beginning of all things, where we acknowledge one of the most fundamental beliefs of our Christian faith and for the most beautiful words that we see actually in all of Scripture. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God." Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of contemporary Christian music's most influential and faithful artists. In fact, he's the most awarded Christian artist in Christian music history. He just released a new song this month in collaboration with Brad Paisley and Lauren Elena and Tisha Leonard called Together. I sent a text out to an email to our folks and also put it on Facebook that I liked this song. And he says in an interview with the Christian Post, Stephen Curtis Chapman says that the message of Together is an eternal truth, that it's not just for this time, and it's not just a message for us as a nation or for us as a, but it's for us as a world. It's an eternal truth that we are made for relationships. We're made for a relationship with God, and we're made for a relationship with others. It's so clear all throughout Scripture that right from the very beginning of the story, our story, God says about the very first human beings, Adam and Eve, he says it's not good for Adam to be alone, that we need each other. We're made for relationships. And so I'm pretty excited about this topic that we're going to talk about this morning, about who our God is and specifically what he's like. Again, we have to go all the way back to the beginning because Genesis 1:1 sets the stage for us. I've often said that if we can accept the first four words of Genesis, then really the rest of the Bible is a piece of cake. It doesn't mean that we get it all, but it means that we can believe it all. That Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, that means he's always been, always is, and always will be. That there's nothing that was before God. That in the beginning, always, there's been God. I love how Jeremiah 32:17, which is kind of the theme verse this month that we've been working with and serving as the kind of foundation for what we're talking about in this sermon series about who God is. In Jeremiah 32:17, it says, "O sovereign Lord," look what Jeremiah acknowledges. "You made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Now, I love the fact that when we read Genesis, this picture that we get of God is pretty spectacular. Actually, it's downright amazing. Psalm 33:6-9 says that the Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. Isn't that amazing? That the Lord merely spoke water, trees, grasshopper, hippopotamus. He spoke, and it was created. The world appeared. It appeared on his command, or at his very word. God spoke everything into being. We refer to that as ex nihilo, or God speaking and creating out of nothing. Just by his word, he created all that there is. Or as Hebrews 11:3 says, that by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It simply came into being, created by the very word of God. So in this series, we're taking a look at some of the most defining characteristics and attributes of who our God is. We're asking the question, well, who is God and what is God like? Well, 2 weeks ago, we kicked this off looking at the idea that our God is powerful. In other words, we believe that God is all-powerful. That while our power is limited, God's power is absolutely limitless. And we see his mighty power in creation, speaking things into being, provision, how God has wired things, everything works, gravity continues to work. The laws of nature are actually the laws that God has put into place, that he provides. And we see this most profoundly, his power and salvation that we receive by having faith in Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at a characteristic or attribute number two, that God is in control. What we're saying here is that God is sovereign, which means that he is supreme in power and authority. It doesn't mean that God controls all of our actions and all of our words and all of our thoughts. Because you see, one of the greatest blessings and, quite frankly, one of the greatest challenges for you and for me is the freedom that God gives us and everyone else. God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, anywhere he wants, any way he wants, because he's sovereign. He's all-powerful. He's in control. We're not. Well, today we're going to look at the third characteristic or the third attribute or the third core defining characteristic or attribute of who God is. I love this one because this simply tells us that God is love, that our God is love. In one of the shortest yet most powerful and grand scripture, profound scripture verses in our Bible, is what we see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, and then repeated again in verse 16, that just simply says, God is love. God is love. Now check this out. It doesn't say in this verse that God loves us, though he does. It doesn't say that God acts in loving ways, though he does. What this verse actually says is something way bigger than all of that. This short, powerful, profound verse tells us that God is the source of love. He is the source of love. I would summarize it this way. Love is the fundamental essence of God's nature and his character. It's the most fundamental essence of God's nature and his character. In other words, God's very being is love. Love is what God is. God is love. His very being, who he is, what he is love. Now, can we just pause for a moment and reflect on that? Can we take that in? That God's love is not dependent upon our feelings or emotions or words or actions or even response. Do you know that God's love is not his love? Is not dependent upon feelings or words or actions or any of that. Because love is what God is. It's what God looks like. So first we acknowledge that God is the creator of all things, right? In the beginning, God. So when we think about this idea of who is God, what is God like, and today as we talk about the fact that God is love, what does that actually look like? Well, I think we can break that down into several pieces. And so as the creator of all things, we understand that first, God created love. That's right. He created love. It was his gift to humanity. That love is not a human thing. It's a God thing. He created it. Genesis 1:27 says that God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Does that mean that human beings, males and females, look exactly like a physical representation of God? No, because our God's way greater than that. What it means is that we have, at a human level, the characteristics and attributes of our God. In his own image means a lot of things. And one of those is that we are like God in our capacity to know and to experience and to live in God's kind of love. I would phrase it this way. God's purpose for creating humankind in his image is that he wanted and still wants a family. Isn't that amazing? That God's purpose for creating humankind, male and female, in his image, is that he wanted, and he still wants, in spite of how we act, he still wants that family. I think that's amazing. And as God's masterpiece, Ephesians 2:10 says that you and I, we are God's masterpiece. One of a kind, unique, unrepeatable miracles of God. We are masterpieces, all of us. And as God's masterpiece, you and I, and everyone else, whoever was, ever is, or ever will be, was created on purpose, for a purpose. And that purpose, that very basic purpose, is to be a part of God's family, to know his love, and to live in that love. That's at our core. That's why we were created, with intention and purpose to be a part of God's family. As 1 John 1:7 tells us, love comes from God. That he created it for us. And we can clearly see how very much, as 1 John 3:1 tells us, we can clearly see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. God created love, and he invites us to experience it, to receive it, and to live in it. So what is our God like? What is this love like? We understand, number one, that God created it. God created love for us. Number two, God communicates that love with his words and with his actions, by what he says and by what he does. And there is no greater way, no greater way for God to communicate his love for us by sending his Son to make us right with him and with others. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us, for all people, by sending Christ to die for us while we were yet still sinners. Now my guess is most of you, many of us, have heard this verse before. We may actually have that verse committed to memory because it's pretty spectacular given what it says, right? That God showed his great love for us by sending his Son. But I want to take just a moment and I want to pause on two words that are very profound. Two words, as one of my seminary professors would say, we have to look at their emphasis or the emphasis. The first two words, but God. But God. Aren't you glad that our God is a God of buts? Okay, now I know that's kind of funny. But I want you to just think about this for a second. Regardless of what we do, what we're like, how we live, how we don't live, what we say, what we don't say, all those questions that we looked at the very beginning, but God. God still loves us, irrespective of what we do, of what we say. And the profound nature of this verse that communicates God's amazing love for us, his unconditional love for us, right? That we didn't do anything to earn it, to deserve it. As a matter of fact, if we really look at it, we did everything to not earn it, to not deserve it. But God still loves us, still showed his great love for us by sending Jesus to die for our sins while we were still sinners. It's present tense, right? So it's not just about what we did. It's what we're doing. And quite frankly, it's about what we're going to continue to do. Hopefully less and less as we become conformed and transformed more and more to the image of Christ. You see, that I am convinced is because our God created love. When he did that, he made a decision long before you and I were even created. He made that decision to love way before, actually, I believe, before Adam and Eve even showed up. As Jeremiah 31:3 says, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. Everlasting. That means it was before, and that means it's current, and that means it's way after as well. That our God decided way in advance to love us with an everlasting, not giving up, going the extra mile love. I think that's pretty amazing. So God is love. Number one, he created it. It's his invention. It's a pretty cool one, right? Number two, God communicates that love. He shows us and tells us visibly with word and deed how much he loves us. Number three, this is kind of a hard one for us. I think a very hard one for us often. God commands love. That's right. God commands us, his children, his followers, to love. You heard me right. He commands us to love. It's not an option for us. Now, I love how this comes up. One day, Jesus is having a teaching moment. Some of the religious leaders and authorities of the day are questioning Jesus, trying to figure out who he is and what he's all about. And one of them looks at Jesus and he says to him, "Hey, teacher, which is the most important command in the law of Moses? Because you see, faithfulness to the religious leaders and the authorities of Jesus' day was revealed by absolute observance to the letter of the law, the Ten Commandments, as well as all the other regulations and ordinances and statutes that came along with those. So for them, the essence of the law for them was really keeping the Ten Commandments. It was obedience. It was faithfulness to the law. And they look at Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, because they're trying to catch him. What's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? What a tough question, right? Look how Jesus responds. He looks at the people, at the religious leaders, and he says this, as revealed in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. He says, you sum it all up this way. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law. The entire law. All Ten Commandments, all the 600 plus statutes and ordinances and all the things that go along with all those other laws, all of that stuff can really be summarized as the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Now let's pull out the big points from there. Jesus says that we're supposed to love God, everyone. It's a natural response that we're supposed to do. We should love God just simply because of who God is, right? Creator of all things. He provides for us. He sacrificed everything. We're just supposed to love God. Number two, we're supposed to love others. Yeah, that can get hard sometimes, right? Because sometimes people don't do stuff that makes us really want to love them. But God says we're supposed to love them anyways. Doesn't mean we're supposed to like what they do. But we're supposed to love them with a Jesus kind of love. And number three, we're supposed to love ourselves. Yeah, that's hard for some of us because some of us look in the mirror, hear words come out of our mouth, and we don't really like what we see or we don't really like what we hear. And that's the process of inviting Christ into our life so that we're not like that all the time, right? Where we love God, love others, and love ourselves in such a way that we're transformed, that we're changed, that we become more and more like Jesus all the time. So the big points, you must. Not a divine suggestion. It's a divine command. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. So who is God? What is God like? God is love. He created it. He communicates it. And he commands it. But there's one more. Number four, God commissions love. God commissions love. What does that mean? It means that God directs his children, that's you and me, he directs us to, drum roll, as in John 13, 34 says, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. It's our mission, you and me, Everyone who claims the name of Christ, everyone who has been changed by a relationship with Christ, everyone who is continually being changed by a relationship with Christ. Just as we have been loved, we should love each other. The love he commands is not some mamby-pamby, sappy, please don't be offended, country song kind of love. No, it's not a love that's dependent upon feelings or emotions or any of that kind of stuff. It's how we're supposed to live. It's how we're supposed to be. Loving with a Jesus kind of love. Now, we have to see what that's like, right? Which means we got to go back to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We got to read and discover what kind of a love that is, right? It's a love that is sacrificial, right? It's a love that 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us it doesn't keep track of right or wrong, that it seeks to do what's right all the time, that it's a love that is serving, that we serve others, we help others, we are in relationship with others. It's a love that goes the extra mile. It's the but God kind of love. You see, you and I are supposed to have a but, and we could put other people's names in there, that we're supposed to have that kind of love as well. Again, it doesn't mean some sappy thing. It doesn't mean that we are supposed to be doormats to be walked on. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to be taken advantage of, but we are supposed to love others with a Jesus-kind, Jesus-centered kind of love, sacrificial, giving, serving, and the like. 2 John 1:6 defines the kind of love we're commissioned to exemplify. And it's this. Love means doing what God has commanded us. And he has commanded us to love one another, just as you heard from the very beginning. So look at that again. Love means doing what God has commanded us. And he has commanded us what? To love one another. Because that love one another actually flows out of the love that we have for God. We have the capacity to love one another with a Jesus kind of love when we actually love God with a Jesus kind of love. So love means doing what God has commanded us to do, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and to love our neighbor, love one another. So let's review. What is our God like? Who is our God? Our God, 2 weeks ago, is powerful. A week ago, he is in control. Today, that God is love. He created it. He communicated it. He commands it. And he commissions it. So what are we supposed to do with this? I found this great quote by Steve Moody. This is the application phase. This is the so what. What are we supposed to do with this? Look what he writes. He says, God's plan and purpose for human salvation is to offer all humanity the opportunity to become his sons and daughters in his own family. And then this part, on his level of life. See, when we both receive and experience and live a God kind of love, a Jesus kind of love, when we do that out of a relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. When we say yes to God, Scripture says that we're adopted into his family. We become his sons and daughters. So we're part of his family, right? We're fulfilling the purpose for which we were created, to be the sons and daughters of God. But look, I love this last part of this quote, because this speaks to the kind of life that God wants us to have, a life as his sons and daughters on his level of life. If you have been around me any length of time, you know that one of my favorite verses in all the Bible is John chapter 10, verse 10, that says that there's a thief out there. He comes to rob and to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come. I have come so that you might have life and have it abundantly. His level of life. And so our God is love. He invites us to live in that kind of love and to experience that love today and all the days of our lives. To receive it, to experience it, to live in it, and to share it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the love that you offer to us, for the life that you offer to us. As we say yes to you, as we seek to love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and as we seek to love our neighbor as ourselves. God, I pray that you would help us to both receive that love, to experience the depth of that kind of life of love, to live in that kind of love by simply saying yes to you. Not my will, but yours. And to share that love with the world in which we find ourselves. So God, would you come? Would you allow your love to be lived in and through us? We pray in the mighty and powerful and strong name of Jesus. Amen. So next week, we're going to do part 4 in this series and looking at another one of the characteristics or attributes of who our God is and what our God is like. So we hope that you can join us for that as well. So we've got a few announcements that we want to share with you this morning and some other things that we want to do real quick. First, I want to remind you, as we do every week, that we are a praying church. If you have any prayer concerns, any things that you would like our church family to be praying for you, we'd love it if you would send those to us. Email news@faithpointchurch.org, and we'll shoot that out, and folks who are part of our church family will lift those things up in prayer. So if you have something that you want us to be praying about, we would love for you to do that. Also, we want to let you know, as we do every week, that there are opportunities to support our ministries financially. You know, ministry takes money, and so God calls us to be faithful stewards of all that he places in our care. And so while we've not been able to meet together physically, we would just lift up to you the opportunities to continue to share in the expenses of our ministry and the life of being a follower of Jesus. You can do that through the mail. The address is there on your screen. You could give online. If you go to our website, faithpointchurch.org, it's a big blue button there. You can click on that. It takes you to our level 1 secure provider, and you can make one-time or recurring gifts online. Another really cool way that we have to do that, a lot of us have smartphones and we're texting all the time. You can actually give through text as well. It's called Give Plus Text. There's a phone number there on your screen that, again, you can set up a one-time contribution or an ongoing way that you can support the ministries of our church. So we'd love it if you would come alongside of us and support the ministries of our church. Hey, today we are also recognizing our seniors. Our youth director, David, and I are going to be heading out after church, and we're going to show up at some of our seniors' homes that are there, and we just want to honor you guys. We know that this year did not finish like any of us had planned, but we want to say well done, seniors. We are so proud of you. We look forward to what this next season of life is going to hold for you when we're able to come back together. We did hear that, for instance, New Albany Floyd County is going to do some kind of a graduation on July 18th. So we want to also recognize you here at church. So we will do that at a later date as well and hear about your plans and where God is leading you and directing you. So again, we just want to say well done, our Faith Point seniors, both in high school and college. We're super proud of you. Then some super cool, exciting news. We are beginning the journey of reopening now.